What's happening locally? The news.
And it is that time for us to take the first look for today. Some of the local news here in the Republic of Panama. The former mayor of the District of Panama, Bosco Ricardo Vairino Castrillon, was arrested on Monday in an apartment in the District of San Francisco. The operation was conducted by agents of the Judicial Investigation Directorate, the DIJ, of the National Police, an entity that last Friday had offered a reward of $5,000 to anyone who provided information on the whereabouts of the former mayor. The same happened with the former mayor of Arihan, Pedro Sanchez Moro. He was captured on Saturday, one day after it was announced that there was a reward. Shortly after the arrest was announced, a video was released in which Vairino communicated his intention to surrender to the authorities. After 12 years, I'm tired of facing trials. I've made the decision after going through the pain of appearing on a poster that I'm going to show up face to face, whatever it takes, Vairino said in the video. At the public prosecutor's office, sources linked to the case assured that he did not turn himself in, at least not voluntarily. The DIJ went to look for him at his residence in San Francisco without warning him. The National Police also stepped in. In a released video, Commissioner Eduardo Nunez, National Director of Citizen Security, said that a search warrant was carried out at the PH in order to arrest Vairino. The Prensa learned that the National Police had been monitoring the area for almost 48 hours when the agents finally arrived at the ground floor of the building. A lawyer for Vairino came out and announced that his client would turn himself in. It was too late. He was taken away in handcuffs and under guard. In a white four-door pickup truck, he was wearing a blue blanket covering his head. Vairino has two sentences, one of 4 years in prison for the crime of corruption of public servants for confessing to having received a bribe of $6,000 from the Brazilian Alexandre Ventura Nogueira, and another of 12 years in prison for embezzlement by hiring a consultancy for the collection of hospital waste. This latest conviction has not yet been finalized, as the former mayor filed an appeal that is pending a decision in the criminal chamber of the Supreme Court of Justice. Vairino had requested that a 48-month prison sentence be replaced by the payment of fines, which was denied on the 7th of September. His lawyer submitted a new petition in this regard, which will be addressed at a hearing scheduled for the 31st of October. Nominated by the Panamanista Party, Vairino was mayor between 2009 and 2012, and he resigned citing health reasons. It's unknown which prison he will be sent to. The Institute for the Training and Utilization of Human Resources, IFARU, disbursed $232,800. This was for 24 people to attend a six-month English course, but according to the beneficiaries, it was only extended for 2 months. Although, according to information released by the Ministry of the Presidency, the course was taught in the United States, the beneficiaries claimed that it was virtual and that they never travelled abroad. Most of the participants do not even have a visa to enter that country. These financial aids were granted in March of 2021, when IFARU was under the direction of Bernardo Meneses. The Prensa reviewed some of the 24 contracts for the English course and found, well, some inconsistencies. Some documents also mention that the course would be taught by Vedex Solutions, Inc., located in New Zealand. Others indicate that this company is located in Panama. Each participant was granted a grant of $9,700, $1,200 to cover travel expenses and $8,500 to cover the cost of the course, money given directly to the educational centre. The IFARU contract state that Vedex Solutions Inc. would provide the virtual course for 6 months, starting in November of 2020 and expiring in April of 2021. However, other contracts state that the course would be held between March and September of 2021. The list of financial aid that was released indicates that the course began on the 3rd of March of 2021. A professor from the University of Panama enrolled in the course, who preferred to remain anonymous for fear of reprisals, and confirmed to La Prensa that, well, we never left the country. The teacher highlighted that Ifaru offered the course as a scholarship for students of the University of Panama Faculty of Public Administration, but that upon learning of the irregularities with the financial aid, they reviewed their contracts and noticed that the location of VEDEX Solutions varied in the different documents. In a list of beneficiaries, it was observed that in the section called Career, the phrase not listed or primary secondary was placed. Those interviewed by La Prensa agreed that the course barely made it to June. It was too basic. Another interesting fact is that the certificates of approval do not include the name of VEDEX Solutions, Inc., the company initially linked to the program, but rather that of Global XR Academy. Well, Global XR Academy was established in 2021 in Bend, Oregon, in the United States, during the pandemic, as highlighted on its LinkedIn account. FedEx Solutions was registered in the same city. The Global XR Academy Facebook account was opened 5 months after the course started on the 16th of August in 2021, while FedEx Solutions Inc. was registered on the 14th of December in 2020. These accounts have 47 and 226 followers, respectively. Luis Aldeneo, father of one of the beneficiaries, expressed his concern about the possible repercussions for the students and their families. "My daughter has never left Panama. She doesn't even have a passport," he said. Among the participants of the program are administrative officials from the University of Panama and Ifaru. One of the beneficiaries was Janiera Rodriguez. Shortly after completing the course, Rodriguez was appointed Supervisor of International Scholarships at Ifaru, according to a report from the entity's payroll in February of 2022. Rodriguez, who was later transferred to the legal department of Ifaru, was dismissed last February, but her case is being reconsidered, said a source. The General Director of Transporte Masivo de Panama S.A., Administrator of MIBUS, Carlos Sanchez Fabrega, announced that by the end of the year, there will be around 1,000 buses in operation, which will stabilize the transportation service in Panama City and San Miguelito. It is estimated that by the end of the year, when the number of people on the streets increases due to the end-of-the-year festivities, the MIBUS public transport system will have around 1,000 operational metro buses, which will stabilize the service, Sanchez Fabrega highlighted in the Telemetro Reporter newscast. According to MIBUS, at least 1,200 buses are required to adequately cover passenger demand in the metropolitan area, that's Panama and San Miguelito districts. At present, 815 units remain operational, of which 200 buses were repaired in a period of 100 days, which helped to relieve congestion in a transport system that had collapsed. On August the 20th of 2024, the Cabinet Council declared the cable car project in the districts of Panama and San Miguelito to be of public interest, which will be executed under the Administrative Concession System modality. With the approval of Resolution Number 78-24, the Metro received the green light to begin the process of studies and selection of the concessionaire for the cable car project in Panama and San Miguelito. Now, among the advances achieved by the Metro is the opening of the contracting process for the company responsible for carrying out the environmental impact study, Category 2. Initially, the submission of proposals had been set for Friday, the 11th of October, but following requests for an extension of time by the interested companies, the Metro rescheduled the event for Friday, the 18th of October. According to the government, the purpose of the construction of the cable car is to reach a segment of the population of Panama and San Miguelito that is not adequately served by Metro Lines 1 and 2 or by the Metro bus fleet due to the topographical conditions of the areas in which they reside. Preliminary studies estimate that the potential demand for the Metro cable is approximately 4,000 trips during peak hours, increasing to more than 6,000 trips in 2040. One of the main obstacles identified are the high-voltage cables installed in the Northern Corridor, which would complicate the journey to points such as Santa Librada and Torrioscata, among others. Now, if you are asked for your identity document at a national police checkpoint, you can show the digital ID card that will be available in the next few days. According to authorities from the Tribunale Elettorale, the digital ID card will have the same format as the physical ID card, and according to the Tribunale Elettorale, it will allow quick, agile and reliable access to services provided by government entities and private companies through the internet, with the guarantee of the security and protection of personal data. The service will be launched, well, it's going to be done today, Tuesday the 15th of October, but it will begin to function in approximately 30 days. To obtain it, you must download a mobile application, enter your ID number and validate your facial biometrics. This Monday, October the 14th, Alfredo Juncker, presiding magistrate of the Tribunale Elettorale, received the Minister of Public Security, Frank Abrego, to discuss the issue. It is a very secure ID card. We have reinforced all the security parameters within the Tribunale Elettorale in order to provide citizens with a secure, reliable document with the same standards as the physical ID card, said Javier Olvidardia, Deputy Director of Information and Communications Technology at the Tribunale Elettorale. Minister Abrego said that members of the National Police have been trained on how to use the tool. It has a QR code that can be identified by the via the internet, he said. Now, the digital ID card will not replace the physical version of personal identity documents, and its download is not mandatory, but it is optional for those who require it. But it will have the same legal validity as the physical document issued by the Electoral Court, so that it must be accepted by all public entities and private companies that provide services through the internet, reads the Electoral Bulletin 5729-A of the Tribunal Electoral. And that's it. On that note, it brings us to the end of this morning's local news stories, which have been compiled for you for today's programme.